1395, Adelaide's 5AA. This is Brad Aldridge.
Welcome back. Just on 9 minutes past five now on 1395, Adelaide's 5AA. Well, it's that time of the year where you sit back and you reflect on what's been, where you've come from, where your journey's taken you, and you think, what have I achieved this year? And what do I want to achieve next year? And for some of us, it can be quite a perplexing question. So we thought we'd have a chat to the professional leadership speaker and expert, Ricky Novak, about what is a way of ascertaining our proudest achievements for 2018. Does it have to be up there with climbing Everest, or can it just be the fact that maybe we've managed to survive the last 12 months? Good afternoon, Ricky.
G'day, how you doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. I hope you had a lovely day yesterday.
Thank you. I'm proud I didn't overeat. There's a good start.
Oh, you've done well. You've done one better than me and most people I spoke to so far.
Okay, great.
Now, as I said, this is the time of the year where we sit back and we look at our achievements, and basically we just look at the year and we think, what have I done? Where have I been? You know, what do I want to think is worthy of, you know, merit of 2018? And for some of us, it can be quite a perplexing question. And for some people, it actually can be downright a depressing question because you might think, I haven't done much, have I? But there's a lot of ways you can look at this, isn't it?
Oh, sure. And sometimes we just simply underestimate what we've done or put it into the, that's just so normal bag, rather than to say, gosh, I managed to get through the year and did really well and kept everything together. And sometimes when I didn't, that's okay too, because I could get up and go again.
Do you think we overlook the normal a bit these days because we get stuck in that illusionary mindset of life should be wonderful, life should be full of, you know, major triumphs all the time, and we forget that, you know what, life's a challenge. And every day is a challenge. And if you get through every day, you're doing pretty well. And like you said, just some of the basic achievements and making sure that maybe you've kept your family fed or a roof over your head or kept yourself healthy for the last 12 months, it's a pretty good achievement in my books.
I think it's a great achievement. But, you know, maybe if we go back a step and you'd ask me as a child what I was proud of, and I might have said things like, you know, doing my homework or getting to school on time, which was always a challenge,
yep,
or caring for my friend who fell over.
Mm.
But generally, once we get to adulthood, we tend to stop asking, what they're proud of, and we stop telling what we do because it could be the tall poppy syndrome. Then we start to tend to talk more about, you know, how was your day and what we did rather than what we're most proud of. And I wonder, why is it that? Are we embarrassed? Do we not think it's proud-worthy enough?
Mm.
Do we compare it with others? You know, what have they achieved compared to, you know, just me? And I think perhaps we should perhaps open up to the fact on some days we can be proud of doing things like accepting feedback or giving feedback with respect and managing to deal with what we come across on a daily basis, managing to avert a problem by acting quickly or perhaps even identifying someone is in need and just responding intuitively and by putting something in action. We underestimate the value of simple things and compare it to the big story when it doesn't have to be the big story.
It's almost like a habit, isn't it, that we've fallen into a habit trap where it's very comparative, as you said, where, you know, we think if we're not doing major achievements and if we're not, kicking those big goals, we're dismissing our little achievements along the way because we think that's just what we should be able to do anyway. But, you know, we've really got to pat ourselves on the back with anything we do, don't we, and see it as a success and a triumph.
Yeah, and maybe it's those small things that bring us closer to the bigger tasks, but it's not always easy, and, you know, we've got to be realistic that not every day is going to be a great day. But we can be proud of taking a knock and standing back up or asking for help. We can be proud of saying no when your resilience is down and letting someone else in to help you. We can be proud of, you know, giving a hand to someone and teaching them a newer skill or identifying they're being held back by some form of roadblock. And they're big things because cumulatively they make a difference. So, you know, as a leadership speaker, I often hear in business people talking about the big things, you know, the bigger role or reaching their performance indicators or managing a global or national team. But you know what? They're the big things at the end of not just a big year, but a long process. And the small steps that they would have taken along the way is usually on the back of other people giving them a hand up.
Is it easier to probably identify your achievements? Because one thing I quite often come across in chatting with people is in this modern age, because it moves so fast and we live such fast lives, we get a bit lost on what I suppose we are and who we are and what we do. And one of the, you know, the techniques is linking back to your values of who you are as a person. And I think if you're aware of what your values are, I think you can probably pinpoint your achievements for the year a bit easier, because you've got some sort of direction in how or the way you want to live your life. And then if you are, you know, ticking those little boxes, as you say each day, the little KPIs of how you want to be, it's a lot easier, I think, to track your achievements rather than trying to go back into the wardrobe of your year and going, oh, now, when did I win that award? Or when did I, you know, get the big promotion to lead, be the team leader or the global leader, you know? Look, it's modern lifestyle. It's the way we live these days. It's very influencing in terms of Facebook and things like that. It makes it hard.
Yeah, look, you're spot on. And that speed of things makes us, we forget what we did last week. So if you ask the team, you know, what are you proud of this year? They go, oh, gosh, so much I can't remember. You know, what have you done in the last month? Oh, heaps of things. Well, what are you most proud of? Oh, I don't know where to start. There were so many things. Because before we've even completed one task or one job, we're already on to the next, so there's no celebration, there's no time to reflect. We don't sit together and say, you know, what worked? How did we manage this task? What did we do when we fell over? How are we going to do better next time? There's no real time to pause, be in the moment, reflect, and celebrate even the tough stuff. You know, acknowledge that we were tired, acknowledge that it wasn't always so easy. But, you know, Brad, your point about values is really important, and maybe I could just talk a little bit about that.
Because yes, please, yeah.
That's where I see a lot of volunteers really stretching out way above the corporates in my space often, because you ask a volunteer who works in an organisation like Very Special Kids or Children First Foundation or anything to do with people, animals too, you know, and they feel a different connection to a contribution they make. And you've got to say, look, why is that? They're not being paid. They're doing it at their own discretion. They're often chewing into their own personal time and family time. But the contributions they are making, they're often more proud of those than they are of the big ticket items in the workplace. And maybe it's got something to do with the fact that they're more appreciated as a volunteer in those organisations, or they see the evidence of the work that they do. They can see context. They know that because of doing X job, someone, they've improved the life or the condition of someone or family. And I think that's where the value system really kicks in. And maybe corporate can learn a lot from the volunteering methodology, and that's what I'm trying to do in my own workshops as well, by looking at what are the core values that make you want to get up out of bed every day and say, you know, I want to be really proud of the contribution that I make today.
I think you've really nailed it there, because in terms of your values, when you, I suppose, are doing your day-to-day living goals and mode of operating towards your values, there isn't, to me, there's not that sense of success or failure in terms of a finite line, because you're doing it because you love it, and then whatever you make in it, it keeps you going because it's what you want to do, and you just see you see constructiveness in it, you see positiveness in it all the time.
Totally.
Where with say just professional purposes, for example, people to me, my mindset's always been, if it's not 100% on the mark, it's a failure. And so it's really hard then to say, oh, this is what I've achieved, because you just tend to discount or dismiss all your efforts that have fallen short of this absoluteness that you've put up there.
Mm. Well, there's an old saying, you know, perfect gets in the way of progress.
Like that. I have to pinch that one off, yeah.
No, sorry. It's not mine. I wish I knew who said it. But, you know, perfect gets in the way of progress. It does. And perfect stops people performing at their best. And so if their contribution is not at what they see to be the most highly rated, they say, oh, well, you know, it was okay. Yeah, it was okay. Oh, you could have done better. And they slice and dice themselves a little bit too harshly and don't see the value of the discretional effort that they're making on the back of good people around them, that things become collaborative and they're shared. And that's a good thing when they're starting to share and build on each other's strength. But it takes trust. We've got to always underpin, you know, what we do with the trusting others to help us and support us and helping us be proud of the contributions we make, because we're not necessarily making them in isolation. We're making them together, and that's the glue that makes business and people stick.
I think we forget that the world, full stop, is one big community. We just tend to think we're all these solo little voyages, you know, caring and oscillating around. And like you said, the trust factor is a big thing, but the trust factor starts at home. And when I mean home, I mean with inside your own self, of learning to trust yourself, and the efforts you are doing are okay, and they are worthy, and they are, you know, worthy of something to someone.
Yeah, and, you know, building self-esteem starts with children, and we've got to be really careful that we don't overbuild it so they come crashing down and they don't get it. You know, and there is a fine line, so let's be realistic about the self-esteem, but certainly acknowledging contribution, acknowledging when it's tough, not making it concessional, but acknowledging the value that people put into the work that they do. And you can be proud of making a difference in someone's life in that way.
If you're struggling, do you think the struggle to identify anything of achievement you feel you may have done could be a sign of poor self-esteem?
I would say there's a link there.
Yeah.
And there could have been a teacher or someone in someone's life who would have been knocking it down a little bit along the way, that for some people, good enough, it was never good enough.
Yeah.
And therefore they take that with them as they go into life. And some people might be wired that way, classic, you know, A-type personalities who are highly driven, want only 110%, and anything less than 110%, they see themselves as not worthy, or they feel crippled by it. And I can see this in some industries, legal industry sometimes. We get a lot of, you know, we can see that, or accounting or other financial or other services, professional services, you know, people can be wired like that. But with the right care, it's okay to let go of some of that premise that it has to be always brilliant. It has to be your very best, and you've got to have room to grow.
So even maybe a tip to someone out there, if they're sitting back and they're reflecting on their year and they're starting to get a bit down the dumps because they're looking and thinking, oh, they haven't done much, maybe just look at something small you've even done. And it could be something like the fact that you've managed to mow your lawns and keep a half-decent garden for the majority of the year.
Yeah.
You know, celebrate that, because you've got to start small, because it's, you know, it's the old saying, from little things, big things grow, isn't it?
Sure. You know, a lot of people do a gratitude diary now about things that they're grateful of.
Yes.
Very grateful for.
Yeah, really good.
And here's a nice thing, you know, if you're feeling like, what can I be proud of? Just start off with, you know, what am I grateful for? And all of a sudden you say, I'm grateful for friends who can support me. I'm grateful to give support when it's needed. I'm grateful that I can get out of bed every day and make a contribution. And starting to acknowledge the difference we're making. And stop talking about, you know, what you did every day, rather than, you know, what made you feel good at work today? What did you do or say that helped someone or helped yourself? How did you manage the feedback? You know, did you take it on board and process it differently? Did you listen? Were you a good listener? Were you able to just, you know, listen more and judge less? And I think if you can sort of do things like that, you're ahead of the pack.
Yeah, I think so too, and it really is just a matter of changing the habit of the way you look and think automatically about things. It's you know, it's thinking more about what you've actually did do today rather than what you didn't do. And
fabulous, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Ricky, go on.
Oh, I was just going to say, if any of your listeners would like a list of great questions that they can help ask others in terms of supporting the work that they do, I'm happy for them to email me, ricky@rickynovak.com, and I'm happy to send out a list of questions that help them dig deeper into getting the answers that they need.
That'd be great, Ricky. Look, thanks very much for that offer. I'm sure that there'd be some people who'd be interested in taking that up, and I actually might even have a look at it myself.
my greatest pleasure. Thank you very much for the opportunity to talk with you this evening.
Thanks very much for your time, Ricky. Have a wonderful 2019.
You too. Be proud.
Definitely. It's all right. I always lower the bar. So that way I've always meet my expectations.
Great job. Thank you.
Thanks, Ricky. Cheers.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.